On Friday, the White House released that devastating fourth national climate assessment, and one of its observations, the frequency of cold waves has decreased over the last century. Again, cold snaps are decreasing. But people have long been wrongly implying that any cold snaps contradict the scientific consensus that the Earth is getting too warm. Last week, President Trump noted low temperatures and tweeted, "Whatever happened to global warming?" And here's Danielle Pletka of the American Enterprise Institute talking about the report on Meet the Press yesterday.
I'm not a scientist. I look at this as a citizen, and I see it, so I understand it. On the other hand, we need to also recognize that we just had two of the coldest years, the biggest drop in global temperatures that we've had since the 1980s, the biggest in the last 100 years. We don't talk about that because it's not part of the agenda.
But extreme cold is actually also a part of climate change. We need Marshall Shepard, professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Georgia, former president of the American Meteorological Society, and host of the podcast Weather Geeks. Professor, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So on Thanksgiving Day, the day after his first tweet, President Trump doubled down, tweeting out, "This is the coldest weather in the history of the Thanksgiving Day parade and one of the coldest Thanksgivings on record." What's happening here? There are people who could point to cold snaps and say, see, that disproves global warming. What's the disconnect?
Yeah, I mean, I had breakfast this morning, too, and that doesn't mean we alleviated world hunger. And that's what that logic is like. It's just a weather pattern. I often say weather is your mood and climate is your personality. One day's weather, even the week's weather, doesn't say anything about climate because climate is really the statistical properties of long-term weather. So it's just the flawed logic to identify a cold day or week with disproving climate change.
Well, isn't it also true that the phrase global warming is relatively new, just a few decades old, and scientists at one point decided to move to climate change because a part of the Earth's temperature rising, which it is that there are other things happening, other extremes, and one piece of that might be cold temperatures.
Look, yeah, exactly. When we have the flu, you have a fever. That's one symptom of the flu. There are other symptoms. With climate change, there are other facets of climate change. The frequency, intensity of hurricanes, how often cloudiness occurs where you live, sea level rise. So warming temperatures is just one response of the changing climate system. So it's just a better way of framing it. It wasn't a name change because it stopped warming. It's simply a better representation of what's happening to the climate system.
Well, and talk about climate as opposed to weather. I mean, weather is when it rains one day, and the climate is this overall pattern. And you describe these waves of weather that are climate. Describe what's happening, what you're seeing there.
Well, our weather is actually governed by a series of wave patterns in the jet stream. People are familiar with the high pressure and low pressure. And we actually, this past week in the Thanksgiving, we were in one of those troughs of low pressure. And so cold air could ooze down into the mid-Atlantic and northeast. That's just weather. But climate is the overall statistical long-term averages of those properties and changes. And so to say that because it's cold this week is a refutation of climate change is just flawed. But more importantly, let me add to that. If you look around the globe over the past week, it's still relatively warm. So we have to be careful not to be so U.S.-centric or even Northeast U.S.-centric in describing what's happening globally.
Well, but we talk about there being extremes. You want to point out that there's a far bigger picture, that there's extremes in storms that are expected, extremes in drought. How might an extreme in cold be created by global warming?
Yeah, there's research by colleagues like Jennifer Francis at Rutgers and many others in the peer-reviewed literature that suggests that jet stream patterns are becoming wavier because of changes up in the Arctic in terms of the loss of sea ice and ice cover up there. That affects our jet stream patterns and counterintuitively might lead to more extremes on both sides, whether it be drought and flood or cold and warm, because we get these higher amplitude wave patterns in the jet stream.
Yeah. Look, the report that came out on Friday should be, you know, we've had so many wake-up calls, so many reports coming out, so many calculations as to how much time there is to react to this real problem of temperatures rising and affecting the Earth. Of the many-page report that came on Friday, what hit you?
Well, what hit me about this report is I've often been very critical of what I call report fatigue. We just put out report after report and it doesn't resonate with the public. But what I found about this fourth national climate assessment that is important is it documented what's happening in the here and now. It focuses on kitchen table issues for the American citizens and the global citizenry at that. Talks about the impacts on economy, health, water resources, things that are happening now. It doesn't put it far off in the distance. It doesn't talk about polar bears. And that's what we need more of with these types of reports, not just all the graphs and jargon.
In fact, it said the hardest hit in the United States will be farmers in the Midwest.
Yeah, farmers in the Midwest, and you know, they grow things that we eat globally. So when we buy popcorn or when we go to buy bread or dairy, those are impacts on our bottom line issues in our own homes. It's not just about polar bears.
Although we care about the polar bears.
Oh, we certainly do.
Marshall Shepard, professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Georgia, former president of the American Meteorological Society. Professor Shepard, thank you.
Thank you.